Welcome to the next episode of the podcast, An Approved Workman, where we are rightly dividing the word of truth. Hello, my name is Jose Figueroa, and I want to thank you for listening today. For more information on this podcast, you can go to my website, www.anapprovedworkman.org. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Workman Approved. Today's lesson is called Rejection and Restoration, and our focus passage is Hosea chapter 1. This is lesson number 1 in our series, Everlasting Love, from the book of Hosea. The study of Hosea is our first volume in the overall study of the minor prophets, majoring in the minors, and we introduced that study last time we were with you in this podcast. So we're doing an overall study of the 12 minor prophets, and we're getting started with Hosea. So find your way in Hosea chapter 1 as we get started. As you do that, let me ask you, what causes you to give up on people? What's the ultimate straw that breaks the camel's back for you? If you have been alive for at least a few years, you have been disappointed by people. It might be someone in your family, a close relative, a distant relative. Somebody in your family may have disappointed you, betrayed you, even done something wrong to you. You may have been disappointed or hurt by a friend. It may have happened with you, someone at work. Someone betrayed you. Someone took advantage of you. Someone purposely tried to cause you harm. Because we're not perfect beings, our relationships are also not perfect. Have you ever disappointed anyone? Let's flip the question. Have you ever disappointed anyone? I'm sure you have, because I know I have. Did that person give up on you? Were you thankful that they did not completely turn their backs on you? As I mentioned in our previous episode, we cover our overall introduction to the 12 minor prophets. If you have not had a chance to listen to that lesson yet, it is available on the website. It's also available on iTunes, so you can download the podcast. It will give you a great context as we dive into the study of each minor prophet. As I mentioned before, today we're getting started in the book of Hosea. Hosea was called by God to prophesy to the kingdom of Israel. So let's take a closer look at the life and times of Hosea before we dive into the study of chapter 1 of this book. As I mentioned, I have entitled this volume on Hosea, Everlasting Love, and that's really the theme of the book. So let's talk about Hosea, the man himself. Who was he? He prophesied approximately between the years 755 and 710 BC to the northern kingdom of Israel. If you recall from our previous lesson, the time of the minor prophets, it is the time of the divided kingdom. After Solomon's death, his son Rehoboam took over, but because of Solomon's idolatry and forsaking of the Lord, God had dictated that the kingdom was going to be split. 10 tribes would go to what we know as the northern kingdom of Israel, with the base in Samaria, and then 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, would be the southern kingdom and would remain loyal to the house of David through Solomon. So that's the way the split happened. And so all of the 12 minor prophets, their timelines basically are with that divided kingdom of Israel and Judah. And as we covered last week, 3 of those prophets prophesied after the exile. So Hosea, the man himself, he prophesied during the reigns of 4 kings of Judah: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He also prophesied during the kingdom of Jeroboam II in Israel. If you want to know the scriptural context for the prophecy of Hosea, you can find it in 2 Kings chapter 14 through chapter 20, and then 2 Chronicles 26 through chapter 32. If you know your Bible, you know that the books of 1st and 2nd Kings and the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles kind of have analogous content detailing the history of the monarchy in Israel. So that's important for us to understand, and that's what gives Hosea the scriptural context. In terms of Hosea, his name means salvation. He was a contemporary of the prophet Micah, the prophet Isaiah, and also the prophet Amos, who also prophesies to the northern kingdom. Hosea was called by God to marry a wife of harlotry, a prostitute, and to have children with her. That was a very unusual calling God had for Hosea, and as we get into the study of chapter 1, we'll have more information on why God did that to Hosea. What was the message of Hosea? It's very simple. God's everlasting and steadfast love for Israel in spite of her continued unfaithfulness. We're going to see that Hosea's marriage to his wife is a picture, is a playing out of the relationship between God and Israel. At this time, Israel was enjoying both political peace and material prosperity, as well as moral corruption and spiritual bankruptcy. That's from the MacArthur Bible Commentary. So it was a situation where things were doing well. The nation was at peace in terms of politics. They had material prosperity, but internally, there was moral corruption in the nation, in the people, and they were completely falling away from God. So, as I mentioned, Hosea's marriage to his wife Gomer was intended to be a vivid illustration of Israel's sins and God's steadfast love for them. In spite of Israel's sins, God continued to love them and promised them restoration and salvation. He would judge their sins, but he would never stop loving them. So we'll see that theme play out as we go deep into the study of the book of Hosea. I have chosen for this study, the theme verse is Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And they read, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him." And that verse kind of encompasses what's happening with Israel. They have abandoned the Lord. They're basically committing spiritual adultery against him by following other gods, by abandoning the Lord's commands. And in spite of that, God pursues them and he wants to restore them and they will turn. That's the promise. And that's what you see in that verse, the people calling, finding a way to go back to the Lord. In terms of the content outline, and this is going to be available on the blog post that goes with this first lesson, there are three major sections. There's the prodigal wife, and that covers chapters 1 through 3. The prodigal people. Now we go away from Hosea's marriage to Gomer to then get more in detail with the people of Israel. So that covers chapters 4 through 10. And then finally, the message of restoration, and that covers chapters 11 through 14. So as you will see this in the website, you will see that the passages, the sections are broken further into different sections. And we'll follow pretty much that outline as we go into our study, so you can be prepared to what we're going to cover over the next few weeks. Let's talk about the times of Hosea. So here I'm going to call on some of the references that we have selected for this study. First, Dr. James Montgomery Boyce, in his work, The Minor Prophets, Volume 1, he tells us about the times of Hosea as follows. Quote, "God had blessed his people, prosper them, both materially and spiritually, but they had begun to live for pleasure. They had abandoned hard work, morality, and integrity in order to live for themselves." End quote. So when you think about the book of Hosea, and you know, when you think about your country, your nation, where you are, if I think about the United States, it is probably a time that there is a lot of that same idea. There's a lot of prosperity. We're relatively at peace. Yes, we have some conflicts out there, but there is an economic revival. There is strength militarily and in some cases politically. But if you look at our condition as a nation morally, it is really not there. I mean, we have abandoned God's ways. As a matter of fact, God is received with hostility, with denial. With anybody who claims to be a follower of the Lord is mocked, ridiculed, persecuted, is out there. So these are dangerous times, because the message of Hosea is that when God loves his people and has patience, he will deal with their sin. He will chastise, and judgment is certain, because God is not mocked. we reap what we sow. So it's a very sovereign message in the book of Hosea. Dr. Warren Wisby, in his commentary on the Minor Prophets, Be Amazed, tells us, quote, Israel was enjoying great prosperity, but Hosea could see that the nation was rotten to the core, for honest government, pure religion, godly homes, and personal integrity had vanished from the land. Judgment was inevitable. Hosea faithfully preached the word, but the nation refused to repent and was finally swallowed up by Assyria. End quote. And finally, from his MacArthur Bible Commentary, Pastor John MacArthur tells us, quote, The Lord's true love for his people is unending. I will tolerate no rival. Hosea's message contains much condemnation, both national and individual. But at the same time, he poignantly portrays the love of God toward his people with passionate emotion. End quote. So that's kind of the introduction to the book of Hosea. We have talked about the man himself, the message of Hosea, and his time. So let's dive into chapter 1 and let's look at our first lesson, rejection and restoration. And we have two divisions for today. First, Israel's sins and God's rejection, Hosea chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And the second division, God's love and Israel's restoration, Hosea chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And my goal for the lesson today is to encourage believers to remember that in spite of our sins, God is always ready to restore and forgive his people. To encourage believers to remember that in spite of our sins, God is always ready to restore and forgive his people. So let's dive in. Hosea chapter 1, let's go to the first division, verses 1 through 9. The word of the Lord which came to Hosea the son of Beeri during the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the days of Jeroboam the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, Name him Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will punish the house of Jehu for the bloodshed of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day, I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Then she conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to him, Name her Lohurama, for I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel, that I will ever forgive them. But I will have compassion on the house of Judah and deliver them by the Lord their God. I will not deliver them by bow, sword, battle, horses, or horsemen. When she had weaned Lohurama, she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said, Name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. So let's get started. The word of the Lord came to Hosea, the son of Beeri. Pretty much everything we know about Hosea comes from this book, so you can see the context there. His father was Beeri. We don't know anything else about Hosea. We learn here in verse 1 that he prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, as we covered before, in the southern kingdom of Judah, and during the days of Jeroboam II, the son of Joash in the northern kingdom. In verse 2, we're told that the Lord instructed Hosea to take as his wife a prostitute, a woman of harlotry, and to have children with her, children of a harlot. It was to be an object lesson. He would illustrate how the people of Israel were committing spiritual harlotry, spiritual adultery, forsaking the Lord. Now, some Bible students think this really did not happen, but that is just an allegory. However, God often called on his prophets to vividly illustrate their messages. You can see some of the actions both Jeremiah and Ezekiel took to communicate their prophetic message. It gave that message more impact, and that's what is happening here in the life of Hosea. So I believe Hosea was called to marry a wife of harlotry, a prostitute, as the scripture says. The question that remains is whether she was a prostitute before Hosea married her, or if she became unfaithful after their marriage. And Bible teachers and students are divided on that one. I'm going to side here with Pastor John MacArthur in his Bible commentary. He says that if Hosea's marriage is to reflect God's relationship with Israel, then it is most likely that Hosea's wife became unfaithful after their marriage, just like Israel was chosen by God first and then became unfaithful spiritually. But you also could take the point of view that, well, Israel was prone to idolatry, always prone to other gods before they were, you know, called out of Egypt and all of that, and called us his people. If you look at the Exodus, and when Joshua is about to take him into the promised land after the death of Moses, Joshua said, you were worshiping idols way back in Egypt, even before the covenant in Mount Sinai. But the point is, whether it was she was a prostitute and a harlot before she married Hosea, or she kind of gave into that after their marriage, the point is, this is something that the Lord orchestrated. I am very certain it was the Lord who led Hosea directly to Gomer. In verse 3, we meet her. Her name is Gomer, and she is the daughter of Diblaim. We don't know anything else about her except that she is a wife of harlotry, a prostitute, and she's going to be unfaithful to Hosea. As we get into chapter 3, immediately she bears him a son. It is, again, quite possible that it's the Lord himself who led Hosea to Gomer. Gomer might have been inclined to unfaithfulness before marrying Hosea, but so far it looks like a normal marriage. At least this child belongs to Hosea. Dr. Montgomery Boyce tells us about this picture that the scripture presents and how it applies not only to the relationship of God to Israel, but the overall relationship to God to his people. Look what he says. Quote, "We're Gomer and God is Hosea. He married us when we were unclean. He knew that we would prove unfaithful again and again. He knew that we would forsake him. Still, he loved us and purchased us to himself through Christ's atonement." End quote. So that's true. You and I, even now that we're saved and we belong to Christ, if we're believers, we were unclean. We were unworthy of God's grace and mercy and love. That's why it's grace. And God knew that we would fail him, that we have covered that extensively in our study of Galatians, in our study of 1 John, that even though we're saved, we're going to sin. We're going to fail God in spite of everything he's done for us. And God knew that, and still he loved us with a perfect love, an everlasting love. And that's the same picture here that we're going to have with Hosea and Gomer. Moving on to verses 4 and 5. The Lord instructed Hosea to name this first son Jezreel. And this has two meanings. It means God sows or God scatters. And it's the idea that when you're planting seeds, you're sowing seeds, you're planting them on the ground. But you also can be scattering like a sower, just scatter them. So the idea here, God is saying he's about to scatter Israel. He was about to punish the dynasty of King Jehu for all the bloodshed of Jezreel. This was related to the murder of the sons of Ahab perpetrated by Jehu. And you can go to 2 Kings chapter 10 verses 1 through 11 for that story. God called on King Jehu to avenge Ahab for all the idolatry he had in the land. But Jehu went really above board, and he was going to be judged by it. He not only destroyed the house of Ahab, but also he had 70 sons he had killed. He also had anybody who was in Ahab's service, whether spiritual, politically. It was a complete bloodbath. And God prophesied through one of his men that he was going to let Jehu's line continue through four kings. And that happened. But at this point in time, this is about to end. This is about to end. So, and not only that, not only the house of Jehu was going to pay, but the Lord was about to end the northern kingdom of Israel. And he would do it in the valley of Jezreel, the same place where Jehu killed the sons of Ahab. The people of Israel will be taken into exile, scattered by the Assyrians. Remember, God is not mocked. We reap what we sow. And this is what Hosea is telling us in verses 4 and 5. In verse 6, we continue. Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. We're not sure if this is Hosea's daughter or a child of idolatry. But we know that this is the second child for Hosea. So the Lord instructed Hosea to name her Lo-Ruhamah. 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 That was her name. Lo, there's a prefix. It means not or not. And then Ruhamah means compassion, pity, love. The idea here is that the Lord is saying through the naming of this second child that he will no longer have compassion or pity on the house of Israel, on the northern kingdom. Their time was up. But you may ask, I thought God loved endures forever. Is that not true? It is. We need some help from Dr. Boyce and Dr. Wiersbe on this one. First, from Dr. James Montgomery Boyce, quote, God is merciful. He is long-suffering. His love does endure forever. But when we insist on our own way and persevere in our sin, the time comes when the daily mercies of the Lord are withdrawn from us and we're abandoned to our folly so that we might learn to turn back to him, end quote. Dr. Wiersbe similarly tells us, quote, the expression of God's love is certainly unconditional, but our enjoyment of that love is conditional and depends on our faith and obedience, end quote. So the idea here is that we should not presume of God's love. I mean, the love of God, the grace of God, doesn't mean we can live any which way we want. It doesn't mean that we can make a habit of living in sin. God will deal with us. God will judge sin. God is, again, not mocked. We'll reap what we sow. That's what we saw when we're studying the book of Galatians, that we should be filled by the Spirit and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit and not give in into the desires of the flesh, because God will deal with that sin. He is, again, is not mocked. In verse 7, God is saying that he would have compassion on the house of Judah in the on the southern kingdom. I will deliver them only not by the strength of men, the bow, the sword, the battle, the horses, the horsemen. He would do it by the power of the Lord. So while the northern kingdom of Israel fell to Assyria and Sennacherib, the kingdom of Judah actually survived an attack from the Assyrians. And you might know the story during the reign of Hezekiah. What happened was an angel of the Lord basically destroyed the Assyrian army. So not a single arrow was flown against Israel. Hezekiah didn't even have to fight. What God did, he basically, by his own hand and power, delivered Judah. And this was a deliverance from Assyria. But eventually, because Judah persisted in their sins, much like Israel did, eventually they would fall again, but not for another 150 years to Babylon. Verses 8 and 9, we see that Gomer had a third child, a son named Lo-Ami. Again, Lo is a prefix that means not or no, and then Ami means my people. The Lord was illustrating that Israel was no longer his people and he was not their God. The covenant God made with Israel at Mount Sinai under Moses' leadership had been broken by the people. God was simply acting based on their spiritual harlotry. So he was acting. That was a covenant that they had, and God made it very clear that there were consequences for obedience, the consequences for disobedience. So there were results of obedience, blessings from God, there were consequences of disobedience, and that included the loss of the land, death, and exile. And that's exactly what's going to happen to the kingdom of Israel, and their time is up. So that's our first division. What's the principle? God expects his people to be holy. God expects his people to be holy. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 say, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. In which ways have you committed spiritual adultery against God? What area of your life do you need to examine and repent? God is very clear. He expects holiness from his people. He expects us to drive towards holiness, to pursue acts of righteousness. Again, we're not perfect. We have limitations. We fight sin and temptation every day. But our direction should be consistently towards holiness. That's what God expects from us. All right, so let's bring this home and let's take a look at our second division, God's love and Israel's restoration. Let's take a look at verses 10 and 11. Yet the number of the sons of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people, it will be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. And the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel will be gathered together. And they will appoint for themselves one leader, and they will go up from the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. There is a promise here in verse 10 from the Lord that the sons of Israel will be numerous like the sand of the sea, which can't be numbered. This, of course, echoes the promises of God to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1-3 and Genesis 15, 5-6. God is still going to honor his promise to Abraham. Even in a time when the people have abandoned God and are facing his judgment and discipline, God's word is still true and faithful because he is true and faithful. Hosea tells us here that in the same place where he told the people they were no longer his people, they will be called the sons of the living God. And look at this beautiful imagery. They're not only going to be God's people again, they're going to be called sons of the living God. We're going from an original relationship of God and people to father and sons. And isn't that what we have now in Christ Jesus? Galatians 3, verses 26 to 29, they read, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." And that's the ultimate desire of God, not only for the people of Israel, but for us as well, to be really sons and daughters of the living God. In verse 11, God also promised via Hosea that the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel will be gathered together again, unified. Right now, during Hosea's time, the kingdom is divided, but it has been God's intention to always bring his people together. They would appoint for themselves one leader, and they will go off from the land of exile in the great day of Jezreel. They will sow God's blessings of restoration. If you remember, the initial mention of Jezreel was a place of scattering, a place of exile. Now, the second meaning of sowing and planting somebody in the land, that's what God promises to his people. Again, we get some help from Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He says, quote, "The new names reflect that nation's new relationship to God, for all of them will be the sons of the living God. Judah and Israel will unite as one nation and will submit to God's ruler, and the centuries-old division will be healed," end quote. And then, as well, Dr. MacArthur tells us, quote, "In spite of the waywardness of Israel, God preserved a future remnant for himself from both Israel and Judah. To them, the Lord will say, Ami, and show Ruhama." Speaking of millennial blessings, God promised national increase, Isaiah 54, 1, national conversion and reunion, Ezekiel 37, 15 to 23, national leadership, Hosea 3, 5, and national restoration, Hosea 2, 23, end quote. So that's our second division. In spite of the judgment, in spite of the discipline, instead of the exile because of Israel's unfaithfulness, there is a promise here that God will restore them. So what's our principle for our second division? God's love for his people is everlasting. God's love for his people is everlasting. Romans 11:29, which I have been studying recently, says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." How does it make you feel that God always provides a way for his people to return to him? Well, that is our first lesson in Hosea. I'm so excited to get started with this great book and dive deep into this idea and truth of God's steadfast, everlasting love for his people. So what do we learn from this first chapter in the book of Hosea? I want to leave you with three thoughts. First, God expects his people to be holy because he is holy. He wants his people to be distinct and separate from the world. He wants us as ambassadors to reflect him to the world and bring him glory. We can't do that if we're not pursuing righteousness. We can't do that if we're living like the world lives. We can't do that if we just look like them and participate and act and say things like they do. Number two, when we fail to pursue holiness and righteousness, and because God loves his people, he will discipline us. He knows a life of habitual sin is only destructive to us. As a good father, he cannot abide his children engaging in such behavior. Much like Israel was disciplined, so will we be chastised when we need it. That shows that he truly is our father and he loves us. Finally, God never gives us on his people. He never gives up on his people. Because he is God, he is faithful, and he cannot be faithless even when we are. He will restore his people through a right relationship with them for the sake of his name and for his great everlasting and steadfast love for us. He will restore his people to a right relationship with him for the sake of his name and for his great everlasting and steadfast love for us. Thank you for listening today. In our next episode, we will have our next lesson in the book of Hosea, and we will focus on chapter 2. Until then, this is Hosea Figueroa for an approved workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. May God richly bless you.